I promise on my honor to be faithful and loyal to Ghana, my motherland. I pledge myself to the service of Ghana with all my strength and with all my heart. I promise to hold in high esteem our heritage won for us through the blood and toil of our fathers. And I pledge myself in all things to uphold and defend the good name of Ghana, so help me God.
Time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Barbara Yakubu. In the headlines, African Cup of Nations kicks off in South Africa. Accra Psychiatric Hospital starts decongestion on Monday. Domestic violence declines in Ashanti. And West African leaders meet in Cote d'Ivoire to coordinate military action in Mali. But first, the summary by Jonathan Thompson.
The African Cup of Nations in South Africa kicks off today. The tournament, which involves 16 African nations, will begin with host South Africa playing their Cape Verdean counterpart. Ghana will kickstart their campaign tomorrow against DR Congo. The chief psychiatrist at the Accra Psychiatric Hospital, Dr. Akwesiose, says the hospital will on Monday send home 30 treated patients as part of its decongestion exercise. In an interview with Radio Ghana, Dr. Say said the hospital hopes to send home at least 200 treated patients by the end of the year. The Ashanti Regional Office of the Domestic Violence and Victim Support Unit of the Ghana Police Service, DOFSU, recorded 2,291 cases relating to domestic violence in 2012. This represents a reduction of about 125 cases, considering the 2,416 total cases recorded in the previous year. And West African leaders are to meet in Cote d'Ivoire to discuss how best to coordinate military action in Mali. They are expected to discuss plans to deploy African troops in support of French and Malian soldiers already in action against Islamic insurgents.
Radio Ghana, meeting the news challenge with credible information. The African Cup of Nations in South Africa kicks off today. The tournament, which involves 16 African nations, will begin with host South Africa playing their Cape Verdean counterpart. Ghana will kickstart their campaign tomorrow against DR Congo. Ahead of the match, many people have expressed their reactions about whether or not the Stars will be able to end Ghana's trophy drought in 31 years. While some believe that the exclusion of Dede Ayew must affect the team, others think the current crop of players selected by coach Kwesi Appiah are amateurs who have hungered to earn a name for themselves and their country. Sports analyst Carl Tufour assesses the performance of the Stars ahead of the tournament. He spoke to Kingsley Obinchere on Behind the News last night.
I don't think the Ghanaians have actually been hopeful. I mean, until the two victories of Egypt and Tunisia, I would have bet that if you had taken a survey, you'd have found that many Ghanaians thought otherwise, and particularly after the dropping of Andre Ayew. But, you know, one of the amazing things about the national team is when you have quite a large chunk of players who never played in the tournament before, is that they are hungry to leave an indelible mark so that the quotation marks, the contracts from Europe could come tournament, since this is a tournament that, even if it's not given the same sort of coverage as the World Cup or the European Championship, at least it's shown on British Eurosport, it's shown Eurosport around Europe, and as well as the BBC 2 and 3, it's a tournament that you can enhance your profile. So, for me, I'm even a bit more optimistic than I probably would have, simply because there are 11, 12 angry boys looking to make a name and looking to get a contract or enhance their contract in Europe.
Carl, you know, previous optimism did not really help the cause. At a point in time when so much is expected, the stars fail to deliver. What will really help? Because tournament experience also counts, and we are talking about people hungry for success but may not have that tournament experience.
I'm one of those people who have read far and wide, and I've read the quotation marks so-called experts talk about tournament experience at that level. But I'll just cast your mind back to 3 years ago, when the likes of Michael Ashton, the likes of Chile Muntari, the likes of Steven Appiah, the likes of John Mensah were not available. They were simply not available for one reason or the other: indiscipline, injury, and simply not informed. The team that went there, can you tell me what sort of tournament experience they had of the Africanist, the Ajiman Bedus of this world, suddenly emerged? Andrea Yo had been part of the 2008, but had barely had playing time, suddenly emerged as a possible player. Samuel Nkum had emerged. So that should tell you that if the chaps are hungry, you can make nonsense of tournament experience. Tournament experience really comes in if the whole playing field is level. But if you've got people who are hungry to make up for lack of success, I haven't made a name. Somebody, I'm in Europe, I'm playing in Vietnam, I'm playing in Norway, I need to get to the Big Five. This is the ideal platform. Second one here, what I've also noticed of this particular squad of players is that there is that camaraderie, there's that hunger to succeed, there is that hunger to make a name for themselves and for the nation. And I think, ironically, it would be so ironic if we should win the cup without the services of Bede, because that was a massive, massive gamble by Tosiapia, which could backfire in his face. But he's been bold enough to do it. And I think if you look across the continent, the same has happened in Morocco, where Tarap has not been sent. And more importantly, in Nigeria, where Stephen Keshi said he was dropping Peter Odemwingie. So yes, this is an opportunity for people to make a name for themselves.
Although Mr. Tufor believes the Ghanaian team has not lived up to expectation, he says Cote d'Ivoire has been the biggest achiever.
I'm surprised, and it's only in Ghana that I hear people calling the Black Stars the perennial favorites. I would even put it this way, the perennial underachievers. But there is no doubt that over the past six tournaments from 2006, the Black Stars have never, I repeat, they have never been the favorite. If you're Ghanaian, you say so. But if you're non-Ghanaian, the money was on the Orange Boys from next door, Ivory Coast. There's no doubt about it.
They will be the bigger underachievers, if you are talking about it in that way.
And in fact, I was going to get to that aspect. I was going to link it up with that, because that's exactly what I was going to say, that they are the overwhelming favorites. But in the same vein, they're also the biggest underachievers that we've ever seen in international tournaments. And I'm talking about across the world. Because with the sort of star names that they have, they should have won a tournament over the past five tournaments. Let me be frank. They should have won at least twice. At least twice. But there's something missing. If you take a look at Zambia, if you take a look at TP Mazembe and the Congo DRC, you get the sense that the tournament is about capital T, capital E, capital A, capital M, and not superstars individuals. And that's what we need to realize.
Sports analyst Carl Tufor speaking to Kingsley Obinchere. The University of Ghana is to focus on research to meet the needs of policymakers in the country at large. The Vice Chancellor, Professor Ennis Aiti, disclosed this at a media launch of the university's 65th anniversary. He said the university will be restructured to maintain the mandate and leadership role, and also to meet the new requirement for higher education to put Ghana on the market. We bring you Rita Nyako's report.
With a student population of 39,376, the University of Ghana is not only the oldest, but the largest of the six public universities in Ghana. Research institutes and individual faculty members of the university continue to work relentlessly to conduct research in their areas of expertise across various disciplines for presentations at workshops and conferences to address the development needs of the country. The Vice Chancellor, Professor Ennis Aiti, said instead of concentrating on one central administration that takes care of the academic and other needs of the university will rather decentralize its structures and work through four different colleges.
We are decentralized, the University of Ghana. Instead of having one central administration that takes care of all the academic and other needs of the various units of the university. We are planning to have a centralized structure that is working through four different colleges, and each college will be empowered, given enough authority and resources to do what is required in order to have a much better agenda, a much better program for students and for research.
Professor Ayite noted that the university will introduce new programs that will boost the productivity of teachers. He added that the university will partner with the private sector to develop a proper shuttle system to help students and staff move from one part of campus to the other without any hindrances. The university will also introduce programs that will attract foreigners. The chairperson of the 65th Anniversary Planning Committee, Professor Ya Ntiamwa Beidu, said at 65, the university has chalked up many successes and will not relent on its efforts to expand their territory.
That was a report by Rita Nyaku. The Accra Psychiatric Hospital will on Monday send home 30 treated patients as part of its decongestion exercise. Chief psychiatrist at the hospital, Dr. Akwesiose, tells Radio Ghana that the hospital hopes to send home at least 200 treated patients by the end of the year. Last year, the hospital embarked on a decongestion exercise through which it sent home 450 treated patients. Early this week, an inmate strangled another inmate to death, a situation largely attributed to overcrowding at the hospital. But Dr. Osei said that has nothing to do with the decongestion exercise. He spoke to Bubu Klinogu.
It's been ongoing since last year, and it's been going quite well. At the beginning of the exercise, we had 1,200 patients on admission. As at now, we have 750 patients on admission. So we've managed to send 450 patients home. We have not got to the target that we want. We will continue until 600 or below. The real capacity of the hospital is 600, and we really want to go, even with the implementation of the Mental Health Act, we even want to go below to downsize this hospital. We'll continue the exercise until probably we adjust about 200 to 300 inmates.
What is your target for this year, actually?
Well, when we started, we were hoping that within 6 months we could send 600 home. We could not. So it's difficult to set it. But then we are hoping that by the end of the year at least 200 more would have gone.
So when are you sending the first batch home?
The first batch for this year.
Yeah, for this year.
That will be on Monday.
So how many people are you looking at? How many
30 people are going home?
30.
30, and they're going to various places within Greater Accra and around.
Let's look at the one that you did last year about the 450 you sent home. Have you been checking on them to see their status or their condition?
A good number of them, they come back for routine reviews just as any other patient who is admitted and is discharged and comes back for review, or is on outpatient basis and comes back for review. A good number of them come back for review. Very few actually relapse immediately or shortly thereafter and have to be readmitted. But most of them, they did very well. They were welcomed by their families and they've been doing very well. Admittedly, if you had a lot of community psychiatric nurses in the communities all over the country, then probably even the rate at which they'll be coming for visits for routine reviews would have been lower. You would have given them a much longer period, or even referred them, transferred them to the communities for permanent reviews over there. But you don't have so many of them on the ground, so a good number may still have to come here for reviews on a monthly or every 2 months.
How do you react to the suggestion that you've relaxed the exercise, and it was the unfortunate incident that happened last week when one of the inmates murdered another, that you have to resume this exercise?
Well, that is not quite true. That's why I said we did not resume. We are continuing, but the rate and the pace at which we take the patients home depends on availability of funds and the other logistics. Every time you send patients home, it takes us about 4,000 to 5,000 Ghana cedis, and that certainly is not a small amount of money for a cash trap hospital like ours. And so all those are the factors that determine how quickly we can send patients home. Ideally, we would have wished that every week or maximum every 2 weeks. But because of funds, it can take sometimes as long as 1 month to 2 months. And that is why we could not attain the target of 600 homes in 6 months. And again, even any time we come back, the vehicle comes back, it may be broken down, it needs to go for servicing, and before we can continue, send the next batch.
Chief psychiatrist at the Accra Psychiatric Hospital, Dr. Akwesiose, talking to Bubu Klinogu. Government has expressed confidence in the ability and contribution of Ghanaian women to national development. It is for this reason that President John Mahama has so far nominated 6 women for ministerial appointments. Vice President Park Kwesi Imisa Afa said this when members of the Queen Mother's Foundation of Ghana called on him at the Slack Staff House in Accra. He appealed to men to encourage their wives to accept political appointments and also support them. Seth's AER reports.
The visit by the members of the Queen Mother's Foundation was to congratulate the Vice President and also appeal for more women appointment into the government. Vice President Pakwesi Misatha hinted that President John Mahama is aiming at appointing a minimum of 30% women into his government. He said late President Atta Mills could not achieve his target of 40% women in his government due to a number of factors, adding that President Mahama is determined to go beyond the figure.
Yeah, late President Mills Noka, the honorable 40%.
Our late President Mills tried so much, but could not obtain the 40% he promised. Most of the women contacted said they were going to consult their husbands, but did not come back. It is for this reason that during the campaign, we impressed upon the men to allow their wives and female relations to accept government appointments. President Mahama promised a minimum of 30%. They have so far exceeded this and still looking for more women. The secretary of the foundation and Gumua Ankamu Ankobi Ahima, Nana Oteba, asked the government to appoint queen mothers to both of state institutions and the assemblies. This, she said, would also serve as a source of income for them. Nana Oteba entreated the government to help maintain and strengthen the peace prevailing in the country.
We need peace so urgently in Ghana. This is because when there is no peace, it is women and children who suffer most. We are hopeful now that you are in power. You will do everything to maintain the country's peace. This is because there cannot be development without peace. The men have been dominating too much in the country's decision making. For those of us who are queen mothers, we are not factored into any decision making effort, especially at the regional and district level. It is our hope that the government will change this for the better.
The queen mothers from all the 10 regions later held a closed door meeting with the vice president. Says Iya, reporting for Radio Ghana.
A United Nations delegation yesterday presented a report on Ghana's progress on maternal mortality to President Mahama at the Castle Osu. The president is expected to present the report at the African Union Summit to be held next week in Ethiopia, Addis Ababa. From the year 2000 to date, Ghana has made some significant progress by recording 351 maternal deaths per every 100,000 live births. The UN estimated figure by 2015 is 185 maternal deaths per 100,000 live births. The UN resident coordinator, Ruby Sanjuru-John, said Ghana's progress is significant and President Mahama needs to show this commitment at the AU summit. President Mahama pledged to be an advocate to ensure a zero maternal mortality. Pascaline Adadivo has the story.
Just like any other country under the UN, Ghana is expected to achieve or make significant strides in attaining the 8th Millennium Development Goals by 2015. Goal 4, which is reducing child mortality rates, is one area all governments pay attention to. In spite of all these, there are still some few hurdles to clear to ensure zero maternal deaths. There are cultural beliefs and availability of health centers and bad roads. The reports compiled by UNFPA and the Ghana Health Service looked at a number of communities and some measures taken towards avoiding maternal deaths. UN Resident Coordinator Ruby Sanjuru-John said Ghana is among few countries making strides towards attaining MDG 4. She asked President Mahama to make a case for Ghana at the AU summit, which will largely discuss maternal mortality. She also asked the president to make special mention of the former First Lady Ernestina Nadu Mills, who championed the cause of maternal mortality issues.
Ghana is one of the 8 countries which has been fast-tracked to really put into place this initiative. And we'd like to first of all congratulate Ghana for all the work that was done. The former First Lady, Mrs. Mills, was the champion with UNFPA on leading this effort in Ghana. So we really do want to recognize all the work that she has done, as well as what Ghana as a country has done and initiated. You yourself have been a formidable advocate for some maternal mortality with the accelerated framework as well. So we're here basically just to let you know about the initiative so that you can report on it at the Africa Union Summit, and we look in terms of how we continue with this.
The Director General of the Ghana Health Service, Dr. Ebenezer Piadenchira, said with the current statistics of 351 maternal mortality per every 100,000 live births, Ghana seems to be getting getting closer to their target. He, however, admitted that more work needs to be done. Government has procured about 160 ambulances to be distributed to a number of districts and remote communities to aid in transporting critical conditions like women in labor. The Ghana Health Service also has a program which trains about 2,000 community nurses every year. President Mahama, who is not comfortable with statistics on maternal death, pledged his commitment to reduce it further.
I think that with regards to maternal mortality, we should think nationally but act locally, because the mothers are in the districts at the local level. And so each district should have a strategy for dealing with maternal deaths. I often don't like to quote the statistics, because while statistics are figures, those figures represent actual lives and people are sisters and mothers who have lost their lives in childbirth. I am an advocate for zero maternal mortality if that is possible. And I'll continue to be an advocate, you know, for reducing maternal mortality, because it's a very important indicator about what the progress of a nation is. You can have the highest GDP. If your women are dying in childbirth, it means nothing.
The United Nations Population Fund, UNFPA, will soon launch a project which will take records of other districts and communities which are making strides in eliminating maternal mortality.
Pascaline Adadivo reporting. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra, and the major stories. African Cup of Nations kicks off in South Africa. Accra Psychiatric Hospital starts the congestion on Monday. Domestic violence declines in Ashanti, and West African leaders meet in Cote d'Ivoire to coordinate military action in Mali. The rest of the news. The Upper West Regional Police Command has held an identification parade of suspected armed robbers who were arrested recently in connection with the attack on the former regional minister, Alhaji Amidu Sulemani. The suspects were paraded at the forecourt of the district police headquarters in Wa. The acting regional PRO, Edmond Nyamiche, said the command is holding meetings with its Burkina Babe counterparts to flush out robbers in and around the region. Correspondent Swala Abdul Wahab has more.
As early as 8 o'clock this morning, hundreds of people thronged the premises of the Regional Police Command to catch a glimpse of the five suspected armed robbers who were arrested recently by the command in connection with the attack on the acting Regional Minister Alhaji Amidu Sulemani. Though the suspects are five, those on parade were eight. People who claimed to have been victims of the recent robbery were made to identify the suspects. According to the police, three of the suspects were identified. The regional staff officer, ASP Edmond Nyamiche, who is also the acting regional PRO, spoke to Radio Ghana after the exercise, which lasted for about 1.5 hours.
When these robbers are arrested, apart from the intelligence that we gather ourselves, we allow the public to also come and do identification to make our cases strong. Yeah, you remember that in the commander's press briefing, he mentioned that five suspects have been arrested, and today we lined them up. And then out of the five, three suspects have been identified by those who doing the identification.
ESP Nyamiche said the regional police command has started holding meetings with its Burkinabe counterpart to help stem the menace.
Correspondent Swala Abdul Wahab reporting. The Ashanti Regional Office of the Domestic Violence and Victim Support Unit of the Ghana Police Service, DOFSU, recorded 2,291 cases relating to domestic violence last year. This represents a reduction of about 125 cases, considering the 2,416 total cases recorded in the previous year. A report released by the Regional DOFSU Coordinator, Superintendent John Ankuma, to Radio Ghana, said seven of the cases reported last year were refused by the unit for lack of evidence, while 941 of them were resolved out of court.
According to the report, the unit also received two bigamy cases, three cases of incest, as well as two cases of sodomy. Additionally, 26 cases of rape, 180 cases of defilement, 51 abduction, one child stealing, and 122 unlawful child removal cases were recorded during the year under review. 91 of the cases were sent to court, out of which 21 of the suspects have been convicted, with two of them being discharged. 1,252 of the reported cases were still under investigation. Among the convicts is a woman, Hajia Salamatu, who is serving a 15-year prison term for stealing a newborn baby. According to the report, 11 cases of illegal abortion were recorded in 2012 as against 17 the previous year. The reported cases of rape also dropped by 20 cases from the 46 cases reported in 2011.
That was the Newsdex report. Cote d'Ivoire's former youth minister and ally of former President Laurent Gbagbo, Charles Blake Good, has been extradited from Ghana. This was confirmed by Ghana's National Security Coordinator, Larry Gbevlolati. He told the BBC that Mr. Blake Good had been sent to Cote d'Ivoire following an official request. Mr. Lattice said his Netherlands-based lawyer, Nick Kaufman, yesterday confirmed that he had been in contact with the Ghanaian authorities seeking legal grounds for the arrest. Mr. Kaufman said he had also asked the ICC to indicate whether it had issued a warrant for Mr. Blake Good. Last year, Mr. Blake Good said he did not incite any attacks against UN personnel in 2006. He has also denied leading pro-government Gbagbo militias who attacked foreigners and northerners during the unrest which followed disputed elections in 2010. He has been in hiding since April 2011 when Mr. Gbagbo was arrested. Meanwhile, lawyer for former Ivorian youth minister Charles Blake Good, Kwame Akufo, has described his client's extradition from Ghana as an illegality. Speaking to Radio Ghana, Mr. Akufo said Ghanaian authorities did not follow due process in sending Mr. Blake Good, an ally of former President Laurent Gbagbo, back home. Mr. Akufo spoke to Bubu Klinogo.
Well, I wouldn't call it an extradition. An extradition is when you've gone through due process. I think what he has done is what they call an extraordinary rendition, which is completely illegal, because we all know that interrogation in La Côte d'Ivoire is accompanied by torture. And this is something which is completely outlawed by the international community. So when you receive an invitation to apprehend somebody who is a fugitive in your jurisdiction, and you send him over to that country through extrajudicial processes, it's completely illegal. And I don't think that we in this republic must be celebrating such conduct. Completely illegal. We cannot practice a system of law that way. We cannot run a system of law that way. It violates all international principles of law. Completely untidy.
Now that you're saying that is an illegal act, what are you going to do about it, being the counsel for Mr. Blake Good?
Basically, it is extremely difficult for me to achieve very useful purposes. You remember that in Libya, when the Libyan government and the Gaddafi fell, they went through their archives and realized that the English people, the British government, had been in cahoots with Gaddafi to send people over through these extrajudicial processes, and there were actions being brought to sue for damages because they had been tortured. As we speak now, Mr. Blake Good, it has been sent out of the jurisdiction. So if there is any further thing to be done, that will depend on the instructions that will. But basically, the most important thing was that the gentleman required due process. He had to be put before a court of law. The warrants that had been brought had to be examined by a court of law. And then orders would be made for him to be removed from the jurisdiction into a place where he can be tried safely and in a fair manner. But you don't remove him from Ghana to La Côte d'Ivoire without due process. It's completely illegal. And I think we must bow our heads down in shame.
Will you be going to Côte d'Ivoire to check on Mr. Blake Good?
I have no such instructions presently.
Lawyer for former Ivorian Youth Minister Kwame Akufo talking to Bubu Klinogo. The Ghana National Tomato Traders and Transporters Association is appealing to the Ministry of Food and Agriculture to introduce tomato varieties that have longer shelf life. This is because varieties cultivated by local farmers have the potential of perishing within 2 days, unlike varieties grown in Burkina Faso. As a result, local tomato traders and consumers prefer the Burkinabe varieties, thus pushing local tomato growers out of business. The appeal was made at a forum organized by the association in Accra. Meanwhile, a market survey by Radio Ghana reveals instability in the prices of foodstuffs. A visit to some markets in Accra showed that while prices of some foodstuffs have risen considerably, others have not seen any change in the recent past. This is because they are in season. The Ghana National Fire Service is blaming the Electricity Company of Ghana and the Ghana Water Company Limited for contributing to the increase in fire outbreaks. The fire service blames the Electricity Company for illegally connecting illegal connections and the unannounced power outages which causes fires and the Ghana Water Company for the lack of fire hydrants at vantage points. The Acting Chief Fire Officer Brigadier John Bosco Guyiri says if the issue of hydrants are not checked, the service will be forced to insist on the availability of hydrants and boreholes as criteria for setting up operational fire stations. And West African leaders are to meet in Cote d'Ivoire to discuss how best to coordinate military action in Mali. They are expected to discuss plans to deploy African troops in support of French and Malian soldiers already in action against Islamic insurgents. Islamic fighters yesterday withdrew from Diable, which they took on Monday, while Mali's army also recaptured Kona, which was seized by rebels, triggering the French intervention. To end the news, the main point again. The African Cup of Nations in South Africa kicks off today with hosts South Africa playing their Cape Verdean counterparts. Ghana will kickstart their campaign tomorrow against DR Congo. The chief psychiatrist at the Accra Psychiatric Hospital, Dr. Aguisiose, says the hospital will send home 30 treated patients on Monday as part of its decongestion. The Ashanti Regional Office of the Domestic Violence and Victim Support Unit of the Ghana Police Service, DOFSU, recorded 2,291 cases relating to domestic violence in 2012, with a reduction of about 125 cases. And West African leaders are to meet in Cote d'Ivoire to discuss how best to deploy African troops in support of French and Malian forces. The news was presented by Baba Yakubu in Accra.